Welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, and just about any other audio app. You can find us Monday through Friday at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, 6 in the West. Head on over to the website, AmericaOutLoud.com, and check out the articles and podcasts that are updated daily. Please share those on social media. We have a big show for you tonight. First off, we've been here on America Out Loud for a few weeks with the After Dark show. We've been having some great guests and some great shows. What do you think so far, Rob?
It's been refreshing. I've enjoyed it. Like you said, we've had a lot of great guests on the show. We've definitely had a lot of great conversations from people giving their insights on what's happening in our crazy world. But it's always good to have, you know, different perspectives coming from different people and letting us know what they think. And then us listening. I mean, we might not always agree on everything, but it's always good to have different voices, different perspectives. And this is a platform that you want to have it on if you want your ideas out there. Definitely contact us and let us know. I mean, if some of our listeners have people out there that they want on the show, feel free to say, hey, contact After Dark with Rob and Andrew, get on the show, and let's have that conversation. I mean, I've got to say, within the past couple of weeks, like you said, we've had the guy who's running for mayoral candidate on our show, Bill Pepitone. He's coming. We'd had Fernando Mattea, and that guy rocks. He was really good, and he has a plan for New York. Now, his opponent, Curtis Sliwa, I can never get his name right, but if he comes on the show and if he tells me what his name is and pronounce the name, you know, I'll probably start rocking the name. But I've reached out to him on a number of occasions. He's yet to respond. I don't know what he's afraid of, why he's afraid of us. We're saying, hey, we want to hear from you. What will you do for New York? What can you do for the Big Apple? I don't want to vote for a person, and I don't know where they stand on the issues. So again, Curtis, if you're out there, if you're listening, tell your people to get in contact with my people, and then we will arrange something. This is an opportunity. We're giving it to him. What is he waiting for, Andrew?
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, they could head on over to AmericaOutLoud.com or go over to the Spotify or iHeartRadio account and find in the archives our interview with Fernando Mateo. Just type in Fernando Mateo, and we had a great interview with him. He had a lot to say about the guardian angel, Curtis Sliwa, who is running for mayor of New York City, that he claims is not a real Republican. It's his top challenger in the field. It's very interesting. We're seeing a lot of these celebrities pop up as Republicans all of a sudden after President Trump's success. Hopefully another guest we can get on is someone that we've reached out to is Caitlyn Jenner, who announced that she is running for governor of California. What did you think of Caitlyn Jenner announcing that she's running for governor of California, Rob?
You know, I was shocked. I'm not a fan of Caitlyn Jenner. And I don't know if I would support Caitlyn Jenner because I think that she's a, country club Republican, Hollywood celebrity Republican, whom I don't think is really down with the cause. I think that, you know, people would probably vote for her because of who she is. And I don't care who she is, as long as she sticks with the issues. But I just don't see her as being the kind of person that could, you know, represent the party. I know that we've talked about her before, Andrew, and you said that, hey, you know, maybe this is our chance of winning California. Maybe it is, but there has to be other candidates out there that would stick with the cause and be down with the cause and conservative ideas. Not that she doesn't have the conservative ideas. I don't know. There's just something about her that doesn't jive with me. But that being said, and as you said, come on the show. Prove me wrong. Change my opinion. Let me know what you will do for California. Let me know what you will do for the party, the Republican Party, Conservative Party. Because right now, I'm not feeling it. Come on the show, Caitlyn. Talk to us. Give us your position. Let us know your platform. We're waiting for you.
Yeah, she has a lot to prove for sure, but I found it very interesting. The day that she announced that she was running for governor of California, I was watching The View and a lot of the other mainstream media morning shows as I kind of do my morning chores. And they were already bashing her just because she came out as a Republican that is running for governor of California. I thought that was very interesting, because normally if there was a trans that was running for a political office, you would hear the liberal media talk about how strong she is and how heroic she is. Yet it was the opposite narrative with Caitlyn Jenner, because she had that R next to her name as a Republican. The liberal media is already out on the attack against Caitlyn Jenner. And as we said, maybe there will be a lot better candidates in California. It'll be interesting to see how she polls among the Democrats, because obviously better candidates would probably be more conservative, more America first. But this is just trying to get rid of socialism in California, and she does seem to be against that.
Does seem to be against it, like you said. When I heard about it, I was like doing different things also. Like, something that does stand out is when she made the announcement that she was going to do it, because she had been teasing people, or not teasing people, but hinting around to it, and finally said, okay, I'm going to do it. And Joy Behar, you know, one of the three witches or four witches on The View, came out, you know, and was kind of like condescending, because I don't think she likes Caitlyn, because Caitlyn is a Republican. Now, like you said, if Caitlyn were a Democrat, oh, they would be nonstop. Oh, yes, she can do it. And Republicans are afraid because of who she is and yada, yada, yada. I do believe that Joy doesn't like the fact that she's running. She has the R behind her name. So Joy comes out and kept referring to her as being a he. And I think Joy knew exactly what she was doing, because she's done things like that before. So what happens? Well, she comes on the next day on the show and apologizes. And Caitlyn comes out and says, don't sweat it. No big deal. I admire that aspect of Caitlyn, because so many times I've seen the mainstream media and just our day-to-day life, people have made the mistake and called the person of transgender a he, because they're used to that person being a he or a she. And when it has happened, they've been attacked viciously. I'm thinking, wait a minute, this wasn't intentional. They didn't try to slight you, so why are you attacking them? Well, they're attacking them because that's what they're told to do in this new woke culture that we have. People sign their names. You'll see the, I think it's he, him, his, and she, her, hers, or whatever. And I don't know what it means, and I've tried to figure it out, and I can never figure it out. What I'm trying to get at is that she came out, she being Caitlyn, and said, don't sweat it. And we're going to start changing the rules. And there isn't a rule book to show people, hey, this is what you should say. Then you got to cut people some slack, as opposed to being so quick to just cancel them or get rid of them. I think there was a university, I think it was Harvard, whereby a professor was being sued and was going to lose his tenure because he referred to a student in the male gender. And the student said, oh, this is an affront to me. You're purposely doing this. And the guy goes, no, I'm not. But I see you as being a male, and that's how I'm going to refer to you as, because you started out as a male. So why is this today's society that we want to attack people for getting something like that so wrong? I mean, how do I know that you're not having a bad day and you go home a male, and then the next day you wake up and you said, oh, well, okay, I'm going to put on a skirt and a dress, and I'm going to be called, as opposed to Robert, I want to be called Roberta. And no one on the job got the memo, and they're still calling you Robert. They're just saying, well, what happened to Robert? Did he have a bad day? Or, you know, is he in costume, or what's going on? And then you want to take the people to HR because you feel as if they are making fun of you or attacking you. Because God knows, when you look out there, you have so many genders. I think the last time I looked, the left had created over almost 50 million. Well, that's an exaggeration. Uh-huh. I think it's about 50 or so. There's a cisgender, there's a pangender, it's like all over. And I'm not saying this to make fun of people. So please don't send me hate mail. But if you do want to send me hate mail, that's fine, because hate mail is better than no mail at all, Andrew. That being said, I look at this and I'm thinking, how did we in our society get to this point where we are just completely, I don't want to say we've gone insane, but it's to that point that people are saying and calling themselves anything. And the science, we always say, follow the science. Well, the science would dictate that, you know, there is an issue here that needs to be resolved. But we don't hear that science. The only science we hear is a science from the left. And they're celebrating this. And they're saying, this is right. This could happen. Not too long ago, I remember reading in the paper of a man in Texas. He and his wife, they had two kids, they separated, and I think it was two boys. And the wife wanted a daughter. So before the separation, she has started treating one of the boys like a little girl, dressing the little boy up in girl clothes. And the little boy protested, resisted. And whenever he would resist, she wouldn't show the kid any love or nurturing or what have you. So the kid, you know, realized that, okay, if I do this, mommy will love me. So the dad caught wind of this and he said, you know, this is wrong. I don't want this. So I think this, they broke up. He tried to get custody of the kids. She fought back. And the judge decided to give her temporary custody. All along, she was still dressing this little boy up in, you know, girl clothes. He would go visit the father sometimes. Then it got to the point that she wanted to give this kid, I think all of seven, hormone drugs, pills. I mean, Andrew, when I was 5 or 4 or 3, I told my parents I was a dog. I was a puppy. And I barked. They didn't put a collar around my neck or chain on the collar, and then said, okay, let's go, and led me down the street like a puppy. Kids will say any number of things. I've seen little boys, you know, the show that they have out, Frozen. Now, I'm not a fan of the show because I think there's an ulterior motive there. There are like all these little cryptic messages about global warming and all this other stuff in it. But you little boys that are watching it, and they love the show, and it's, you know, it's a cartoon or what have you, they'll look at it and they'll say, oh, I like Elsa. I want to be Elsa. You know, parents, they laugh. They think nothing of it. But then when you get the parents who are saying, oh, I'm going to go out and buy you the Elsa dress. And you're going to go as Elsa for Halloween. Now you're pushing something on this kid that this kid doesn't understand. The kid is just thinking that it's fine. And then the parent comes out, oh, my child, I didn't know my child was transgender. I didn't know my child was this. Well, you didn't know, and neither did the child. So why are you doing this? But this is a society that we're in with all these crazy social experiments. And if you don't accept it, if you resist, you look down on. And as I started saying earlier about the different listening to the science, there are sciences that are out there that will say, scientists, meaning a psychologist or psychiatrist, that will say, you know, this, there's a breakdown somewhere and this person needs to be canceled. Whereas there are others that would say, no, this is natural. Now, the science that is saying we need to study this and that there's a breakdown, they've silenced their voices and they've put them off to the side. Whereas the others that are saying that this is acceptable, they're in all of the medical journals, their theses, their researches and whatnot to validate it. But as it is with anything, you get a second opinion. But in 2021, for some reason, second opinions don't matter, especially if the second opinion goes against what the left deems to be true, their truth, and part of their social experimentation. I look at the military. That is the only institution out there that's allowed to discriminate. Why? Because we want the best and the brightest. I don't want to see a soldier who's over 400 pounds saying that, oh, I'm going to protect you. The only thing he's going to protect is his hot dog and honey bun. And society today, they're saying, let's lower the standards, reduce the regiment that they have to go through. We don't want the women to have to be as tough as a man. We don't want them to have to be able to do 50 push-ups. Let's just make them do 10. And while you're at it, we have other people here that, you know, they're still trying to figure out if they're a male, a female, and they want to come in. And when they come in, you know, they've decided that they want to have like a sex change and we're going to pay for that. Are you serious? We're talking about the military. At one point, I bought into that and I said, oh, this is great. We should let everybody in if they want to come in and defend the country. Well, are they defending the country or are they just entering the military just to have a sex change? You look at that guy, Bradley, Chelsea Manning. I mean, and that whole sorted out mess. No, I am not saying that people don't have issues, but the military is not a place to go and try to find yourself. You should already know who you are by the time you join, because you have to take a battery of tests. And one of those tests is a psychological test. And if you're confused of your gender, then we don't need you there. You need to resolve that before you enter the military. But like I said, I fell for it. I thought, oh, let them all in. Remember, Bill Clinton had the don't ask, don't tell. I don't care if you're straight, bi, tri, or what have you. But what I am concerned with is that when you get there, if you're in the military, you know exactly what you're doing. You're not there for some social experiment. You know exactly who you are and what you're going to do, your mission. But for some reason, we don't want that in our society. We're okay with people coming in and having these social experiments. It's like, why? I mean, Andrew, do you understand? Can you conceive that in 2021, 2021, our military, they're reducing the standards. And it's like, oh, let's just have a social party. Let's have, you know, social experiments, tea parties, and let everybody come in. Meanwhile, China is telling their men, you got to toughen up. But we can't have soldiers on the front line that are trying to decide if their fuchsia fingernail polish matches their fuchsia lipstick or their red pumps. You want to do that, you do that on your own time, not when you're here to protect America. We can't have this. But we seem to have lost track of who we are because we're trying to become this social experiment society. No one else is doing this. You look around the world, no one else is doing this. And while we're doing it, China is beating us at our own game. They're going around helping all these little countries that are poor, countries that we know are poor, countries that want their people to come here so that they can have a part of the American dream, a country that we're saying is systemically racist. China is helping all these countries. But we're too busy trying to have social experiments. We're too busy trying to decide and recreate the science of male, female, recreate the gender. In my wildest dreams, would have thought that we would be here at this point in time, trying to decide how many sexes we have, trying to decide if we should teach this in school or not teach that in school. And when I say teach, teach the open society, sex, as opposed to arithmetic and math. I heard the other day they want to reduce the, they feel that math is racist. So they want to reduce the level of how it's taught at school. You can't make this stuff up. You simply cannot make it up. And why we aren't pushing back, why aren't we looking at this and saying, wait a minute, this is not who we are as a society. Yes, there are many different people in society. You know, we come in all shades and we have different perspectives. But there comes a point in time that we have to be true to ourselves and say a lot of this stuff that we're trying to do is social experimentation. And we need to step back and say, hey, this makes absolutely no sense. The rest of the world is moving forward and we're moving backwards. We say follow the science, but we only want to follow the science when the science is what we want. It fits our expectation. It's crazy, Andrew. It's just crazy. I don't understand it, but that's where we are. You know, this is apparently what people want. They want this kind of craziness, this kind of nonsense. And I mean, there's 370,000, 60,000 people in America. You mean to tell me those 370,000, 60,000 people don't know what sex they are? That they're just willy-nilly, just they're open for all these social experimentation programs that we're having. And it just keeps going and going and going. And it never stops. It's like every day there's something that's crazy that's taking place. We don't like America. Americans are bad. I mean, at some point, conservatives have got to start pushing back because we're losing. Well, not losing. We have lost the cultural warfare. We've lost it. And if we want to get it back, we're going to have to start pushing back. We're going to have to start taking the fight out to the front lines and not be afraid because the Democrats have gained so much ground on us and we're sitting down in our little silos saying, oh, well, we're going to do this and we're going to do this and we're going to stop them and we're going to push back. Well, good luck with that, Chuck, because that's not going to happen. If you don't start looking around you and looking at the landscape and then start identifying people that can help us push this cause forward. You know, we started out saying, talking about Caitlyn Jenner and the different people that we've had on the show. There should be more Republicans out there in the spectrum, in the new spectrum, talking about who we are as a people. And not just one person, one white man, one old white man. We need more. We need diversity and we need the best. We don't need the second or the third. We need the best. I look at Tim Scott, who's out there. I mean, front and center, talking and pushing. I want to see more of him out there. I'm tired of seeing Lindsey Graham. I want to see more of him. And then there are other candidates that are running that we're going to have on our show. You look at Joe Collins, Kathy Barnett. Probably names you guys have never heard of. Vernon Jordan, who's running for, I think he's going to be running for governor in Florida. And we've reached out to him. And again, if you know someone that knows any of these people, please put them in contact with us because we need to hear their voices. Stop running to CNN and MSNBC, okay? Because they're not going to do anything for you but tear you down. The other day, the Washington Post came up with a hit piece on Tim Scott challenging, get a load of this, they're challenging his story as to how he was born. I think he would know his story. And the only thing they did was just to say, well, you know, he said he had it that bad. He had it hard. He grew up in poverty. But is he really telling the truth? You're questioning a Black man who said that he had it bad. He was in poverty. Now, just imagine had it been Hsu's return and it had been a Democrat and they were questioning. Better yet, a female. Because right now, females are the hot items. They can say whatever they want to say and do whatever they want to do. Look at Maxine Waters. Look at Val Demings. And their nasty behavior that they exhibited recently on the Hill toward Jim Jordan. Did you catch that, Andrew? It was appalling how nasty they were to him. But who was there to counter that? Who was there to push back? Had Jim Jordan pushed back, they would have said, oh no, you can't do that. They wouldn't have wanted him to do it because they would have said, oh, he's attacking a Black woman. He's attacking a Black woman. Why? Because he pushed back because he called them out for telling him to shut your mouth. Compliments of Kerosene Maxine or Val Demings yelling at him saying, oh, did I hit a nerve? It's just nasty behavior. No, I would present to you, had we had a Black conservative representative, female, and again, only the best, we're not saying put them there because of their gender. That's what the Democrats do. But had we had someone there, they could have pushed back on those two witches and said, uh-uh, it doesn't go that way. You don't step at me like that. And they would have backed down. But they had a license to do it. Because the media is now saying they're white, he's white, and he better shut up. He better not say anything. Despicable.
Yeah, those on the left are so morally bankrupt right now, and it's filtering down to our children. These children on hormone drugs, and like that story you mentioned, it's just flat out child abuse, in my opinion. Children that are 7 years old, 8 years old, 9 years old, they're not in any position to be making the decision on what gender they want to be for the rest of their life. Like you said, there could be a kid that wants to be a dog. Does that make him a dog? No, it doesn't. This broken this broken society that the left is pushing, we've got to change, and we've got to fix our school system and get back on track in our culture.
Yeah, you know, and I'll say this also, and I've said this before, that I wish there were someone out there who could stand up and, you know, bring us all together and just say, you know, hey, we need to stop this. We need to, you know, come together as a country, as a nation. We know we have difference of opinions, but we need to stop and listen to the other person. Now, some would have thought, you know, Barack Obama, he's that person, but I say not, because Barack Obama and his wife have been the most divisive couple living in the White House and leaving the White House. Extremely divisive. They have pushed this divisiveness from gender, from race, class, from here, and they'll do it to eternity. And it's really unfortunate that the 44th president, the first Black president, does not have the integrity to come out on the world stage and say this has to stop. Instead, what he's doing is pitting brother against brother, sister against sister, mother against her children, husbands against wives, families against families, and race against race. It's as if though it's a race to the finish line and how they can just further destroy this country and just rip it apart piece by piece. And you're like, where are the statesmen of yesteryear? He should be able to come out and say, let's bring it together. Now, some would say, well, what about Trump? Why want Trump? Well, the media, they're still doing their hit job on him, Andrew. He's been out of office for how long? And they still won't let the man rest. Every fault, everything that's going on in society that's wrong, they want to blame him. It's like, are you serious? The man is out of office. And everything that they have accused him of, from this fake insurrection at the White House, have been proven a complete lie. To the fact that, oh, well, he killed the, he's responsible for the death of the policeman on the Hill. That was a lie. The guy died of a stroke. But the media has not come out to correct that. It's like all these lies. And again, if you think back before Trump, all of the attacks on the police happened under Barack Obama, and he said absolutely nothing. The so-called blacks that were killed by police, his Justice Department, Andrew, went in and investigated. And they came out and said they did nothing wrong. And I'm hearing now that they're going to do the same thing with Breonna Taylor, that Merrick Garland, he's going to launch an investigation in Kentucky to see what the police, what they should have been doing that they weren't doing. And you know what? It will probably come out that they did what they're supposed to have done. But when it does come out, as quiet as it's kept, no one corrects the false narrative. Michael Brown, remember, hands up, don't shoot. Turned out that never happened. Barack Obama doesn't have the guts or the balls to come out and say, stop it. We are all human beings. We probably don't agree, but we can disagree. We can agree rather to disagree respectfully. But he won't, not only will he not, Andrew, but he can't do it. He doesn't have it in him to do it. And the last time I looked, he is worth $150 million. When he came to the White House, he was in debt. Now, some will say, oh, well, he wrote books. You know, I'm always suspicious of these books that hit the bestseller list. I'm always thinking, okay, what liberal billionaire went out and bought all the books to make it seem as if, though, this book is on the bestseller list? Because I don't think it to be so. Not at all. What do you say, Andrew?
Yeah, I don't think that Barack Obama's book is on the bestseller list. I think a lot of these bestseller lists are made up. Who knows how many of these copies his fans in the mainstream media bought beforehand, before it even happened. These book deals just seem like a money laundering scheme for so many of these politicians. We're going to see the same thing with Hunter Biden here. And his book deal, where all this money he got from Ukraine and China, the liberal media is going to expect us to believe that he made it off of his book. We see it with Bernie Sanders. He keeps running for president and losing, does not raise a fuss about it. He says that all his money comes from his book, when it is obvious the reason he keeps running for president is because he makes a lot of money running for president. Well, you guys are tuned into After Dark with Rob and Andrew, available on America Out Loud via iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or download the America Out Loud app to keep track of all the great shows on America Out Loud. We'll be back with more on President Trump and if he should run for office again in 2024, Joe Biden's first 100 days, and a whole lot more.
Today, America stands at the crossroads of history. Our actions will determine the fate of our nation. Well, that journey starts here and starts now. We invite you to join us in making the ultimate difference. Subscribe to our podcast and newsletters. Turn notifications on and stay in the know. You'll find all that back at AmericaOutLoud.com. Liberty and justice for all.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep, but it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Hello, this is Lieutenant Randy Sutton, the host of Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement. I am a 34-year police veteran. I am also the founder and CEO of an organization that stands behind injured and disabled law enforcement officers. It is called The Wounded Blue. Our website is thewoundedblue.org. We have produced a film. It is an important film. I urge you to watch it. The film details what happens when a police officer or law enforcement officer is shot or stabbed or beaten or disabled, seriously injured in the line of duty. Most people think they are taken care of medically and financially. The reality may be quite different. It is called The Wounded Blue, Service, Sacrifice, Betrayed. The film is available on Amazon, iTunes, and the Microsoft Store.
I really just hope that the Republican Party can keep the momentum that President Trump started if President Trump does not run again. But I really sincerely hope he runs again. How about you, Rob?
I agree with you. I had initially, once, you know, we all just understood and realized that Joe did steal the election, he was going to go ahead and go to the White House. I had mixed reservations. I said, well, you know, maybe Trump shouldn't run again. Maybe someone else should do it. And I listened to every one of them saying, well, and most of them said because of his age. Well, you know, we were saying that Joe was too old, so we got to hold him against the same thing. No, completely different. Joe is an old 77 or 78-year-old man. Okay, the Joe that we saw out on the campaign trail when he first entered the race in March, April, May, every month, he was changing and he was aging before our eyes. The man was literally aging. Whereas with Trump being in office, it seemed as if though time stood still. He was the Energizer Bunny. There are some people that work at that level, at that capacity. They're always on the go. Joe, unfortunately, is not that person. Trump was just like, I mean, nonstop. That being said, should he decide to run, I would support him. Yes, DeSantis. If Trump doesn't run, I would say DeSantis should run. Or Christine Noem. What's his name? Can forget about it. Chris Christie. He can forget about it. There is no way I will vote for him. Never, ever, ever. I hope Trump doesn't endorse him. I will not support a Chris Christie for president because I think that he was playing against Trump the entire time. He recommended that idiot Christopher Wray, who has done nothing, but also sowed the seeds of discord. Black Lives Matter is just a concept. Are you serious? Are you freaking serious? He said nothing about the Capitol riots, that it was an insurrection, but never once did he come out and say, okay, the police who they said was killed, was hit in the head, that didn't happen. The guy died of natural causes. Not once did he come out to defuse that. And he knew the answer. He sat there and he allowed the country to be ripped apart as if though he was trying to take Trump supporters from him by saying, you see, his blood is on Trump. It did not happen. It did not happen. But Christopher Wray did absolutely nothing. That is the reason why Joe Biden is allowing him to stay put so that he could continue to do his bidding and make it seem as if though, you see, this is a good, honest man. Trump picked him, but he's still here. So in my opinion, absolutely. And he should defeat Joe Biden. He will defeat Joe Biden. We will have to get behind him and make certain that it happens. Because you look at the laundry list of things that he accomplished, Andrew, and it's remarkable. It is remarkable the things that he did that no one else could have done. America gained 70 million new jobs, more than three times the government experts had projected. The middle class family income increased to nearly 6,000, more than five times the gains during the entire previous administration, and that was Barack Obama's administration. Unemployment rate reached 3.5%, the lowest in a half century, achieved 40 months in a row with more jobs opening than job hirings. And when I think about that, I think about the effect that it had on the Black community. Unemployment for Blacks went down. Black businesses, they were able to get their foot in the door and do more. And it wasn't based upon their skin color, but the content of their character. Right now, Joe Biden's administration, well, we're going to give it to you because you're Black and not because of the content of your character or your abilities to do the job. That means a lot when you're able to go out and do a job or get a job, not because of your skin color or your sex, your gender rather, but because you have the ability, the capabilities of doing the job. People will respect you more. You will respect yourself more, as opposed to thinking, well, I just got it because of a token. I just got it because, you know, I happen to be this particular color. No, under Trump's administration, they got it because they were qualified for it. I mean, and that's what we want. Unemployment rates for African-American, Hispanic-Americans, Asian-Americans, Native Americans, veterans, individuals with disabilities, and those without a high school diploma all reached record lows. The unemployment went down.
After a little over 100 days from Joe Biden, I think the country is already hungry for President Trump to come back. I think he's the most popular candidate that the Republicans put out. What do you think, Rob? Do you think that anyone else could draw the amount of votes that Joe Biden or that President Trump got on the Republican side?
Absolutely not. I know that Chris Christie couldn't do it. No, there might be Governor DeSantis. I mean, he could possibly, of course, if Trump throws his support behind him. But there's no one else who could do it. So when I see all these candidates who are looking in eye like, ooh, Mitt Romney, please, please, Mitt, you're living in La La Land. Okay, the Democrats have you thinking that they love you, that they're going to support you. No, not at all. You're only a tool for them. That's it. So don't think you'll be able to come in and attract all these voters that Trump did. And that is the reason why, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, Andrew, but the media, they're doing their darnest to try and say that everything Trump did was wrong. It was seated in racism.
Absolutely. We see it every single day that the media talks about how many people are getting vaccinated, and they never mention that President Trump is directly responsible for the vaccine with Operation Warp Speed. Dr. Fauci said that vaccine could take 3 to 5 years. President Trump said, no, that's too long. We'll have a vaccine by the end of the year. And it was just another promise made, promise kept from President Trump, because we had that vaccine at the beginning of this year. And it's incredible to see all that he accomplished, and the media continues to not give him any credit for it. As you mentioned earlier, Chris Christie's already talking about jumping in the race. We've got other rhinos, in my opinion, like Nikki Haley, Paul Ryan, and people like that, who are going to be hungry to try and make their mark again now that they think President Trump might be gone. How do you think Chris Christie, Nikki Haley, Paul Ryan, and some of these types of Republicans will fare in the primaries? I don't think that there's much of a base for people like that anymore. What do you think, Rob?
Well, I've already mentioned Chris Christie, and I said that, I mean, I even did an article on Chris Christie, the Bloviator. I said that there's no way I would support him. I mean, he showed us who he was, and I believe him. He's a backstabber. He's a front stabber. I don't know. No way. Paul Ryan, that's a joke. Really? I mean, you ran with Mitt Romney. You actually think that someone's going to vote for you? No, thank you. Nikki Haley. Now, you know, that's tough right there, Nikki Haley. But I would say Christine Noem over Nikki Haley. Nikki Haley did herself an injustice when she came out and attacked the president and said that he caused the insurrection and that we were all following him blindly. Only to find out now, little by little, as information is revealed about this so-called insurrection on the Hill, that what they reported on, they being the media, was all a big lie. And there's more that's going to come up about this. That is the reason why they're slowly releasing the information. And Andrew, did you know that a lot of the people that were arrested during this, you know, insurrection, so they say, I'm going to say this little melee, are still in jail? They're still in jail. While the people who tore down and burned down buildings the summer, spring and summer of 2020, they're out and about and they're doing it again. Go figure.
Yeah, I could not agree anymore, Rob. President Trump, known for drawing huge crowds of people in his campaign rallies, I personally would like to see him pick up the rallies again, maybe sometime late this year, going into the midterms in 2022. I think he's doing the smart thing right now, just taking some time off. He's going to let Joe Biden expose himself And people are going to be asking for President Trump to come back. And then he's going to, the way I see it, start back these massive MAGA rallies. And I think the crowds for these things are going to be bigger than ever after what he went through in the 2020 election. I am really looking forward to seeing what President Trump has in the future. He's also talking about perhaps a social media platform. I mean, the guy has a lot of options.
I want the rallies to come back also. And it would be phenomenal. Just imagine people were to pick a candidate or some candidate were to say, okay, we're going to run and Trump, we're going to have a rally for this person. The media would go ballistic. Well, the first thing they're going to do is they're going to say anyone attending the rally is a racist. So it would be rather interesting when he decides to throw his weight behind a Black candidate and they say, oh, well, that person is a racist. Oh, they will say it. And the media will jump on board and will agree. See, and this is what they're doing now. This is the reason why everything that takes place, they say it's about racism. It's racist. It's racist. I hate hearing it. But in a way, it's a good thing because they will play that card so much that people will say it doesn't make any sense. There is no racism because that's all they say. Everything. If you drink a cup of coffee, you're a racist. If you do this, you're a racist. If you're seeing in a picture with Trump, you're a racist. The liberal media wants it seem as if though that Trump's entire term in office, those 4 years, was nothing but racism, and that's so farther from the truth. And it's unfortunate. Again, you look at the numbers, you look at Black employment, Black unemployment, you look at Black businesses, you look at the wealth gap, you look at the Blacks that gain so much, not only Blacks, but Asians as well. And like you said, the number of Blacks that voted for Trump, Black men that voted for Trump, and I guess that's the reason why they're attacking Black men now and don't want Black men to have a say. How many Black men are in President Trump, President Biden's administration? How many prominent Black men do you see that are coming out there? You know, it's like next to none almost. But that is a reason why. Because if they can get people to think that Trump did anything, did nothing, and that everything that he did was centered around racism, they're thinking that people will be afraid to touch him. People will be afraid to be seen with him. But I, for one, I think he should run. He will be 77, but a young 77, an active 77, and someone who will get down and correct all of the mistakes that Joe Biden has done. The S&P 500 and NASDAQ repeatedly touch record highs. I mean, and the list just goes on. I'm looking at it. The Dow Jones above 20,000 for the first time in 2017 and topped 30,000 in 2020. Now, I know some will say, well, look at what's happening now. Okay, yeah, well, look at what's happening now with the jobs that are leaving, manufacturing jobs that Trump created, jobs that Joe Biden has come in and with the flick of his pen gotten rid of. So now you look at the unemployment numbers and people, oh, the unemployment is going down. No, you're not counting the real numbers because he went through and decimated an entire industry. And what for? Oh, well, we're going to go green. Are you serious? And not only that, look at the police force. Trump supported our law enforcement. And now what is Joe Biden going to do? Well, it's interesting because I heard this, you know, with this qualified immunity, by getting rid of qualified immunity, in essence, Andrew, what they're doing is that they're defunding the police, but on a different level. Because if you get rid of it, you'll have people who will say, I'm not even going into that industry. So then you're lowering the numbers of law enforcement. And a majority of our law enforcement men and women are people of color.
Yeah. And what does the left solution to replacing the police officers? More social workers and ambassadors. Like, they are really prepared to deal with some of these lunatics that we see out here on the streets. Anytime you go to a blue city that's big, a lot of times they have these ambassadors instead of police officers dealing with some of the homeless on the streets, and they're completely helpless. No one listens to them. It doesn't work. You need law and order, and you need police officers on the streets.
Absolutely, law and order. And as I said, Trump was a big fan of our police officers. He supported them. Obama did not. Obama said absolutely nothing when we saw the police being slaughtered under siege on the streets during his administration. He said absolutely nothing. He stood idly by with his hands collapsed, closed, saying nothing. Never once did he support our men and women in blue. Now, I bet you right now he has Secret Service, he has all these bodyguards, but as far as regular people, oh no, get rid of. And as he said, he came out and said, let's reimagine. That's what they want to say. Reimagine, reimagine policing, reimagine law enforcement, not Trump. Trump got right behind them and he respected them. And maybe he respected them because he understood blue-collar workers. He understood the simple man. He understood the sacrifices that these families go through. Police officers getting up every darn day to support their family, not knowing if they're coming home or not, but they're getting up and they do the job. Right now, when I go out and about in New York City, when I see our men and women in blue, I stop them and I say, thank you for your service. Get home safe. You guys have a tough job. Now, I've got to admit that when I approach them initially, the look on their face is as if though they're thinking, okay, what is this guy going to say? Is he going to heckle us? Is he going to be nasty, belligerent? But then as I begin to speak and I tell them, a smile comes across their face. My seven-year-old son does the same thing and his seven-year-old cousin. If we see a police officer, well, I mean, for them, they see anyone with a badge on, they, oh, I want to say thank you for your service. I'm like, well, you don't have to tell that person. Well, what about the guy who's cleaning up the building? I'm like, well, yeah, you can thank him. But, you know, that's at a different level, you know. But I want them to appreciate our men and women in blue. They're not the enemies. And Trump recognized that. And he respected them. Yes, there are a few people out there, bad apples, but you have doctors that are bad just as well, Andrew. We have bad doctors.
Right. That's very important, you telling your son to go up and thank police officers. Because then if you look at a lot of the heroes in the Black community, like LeBron James and his recent statements towards police officers and his total lack of respect for the people who keep the community safe, it's just a total contrast.
It is. It's a complete contrast. And I don't want my son to look at LeBron James and think that he's a hero by any means. I mean, yes, a guy, I guess he's a good ball player. I, for one, don't like him. But I remember back in the day with Michael Jordan and people admired him. He kept his mouth shut and he played the game. He dribbled the ball. Look at Tiger Woods. He hits the ball. And there are so many others that are out there who don't profess or proclaim to be role models, but they're doing their jobs. But then you have the LeBron James out there. A lot of the others that are out there, like the girl who plays soccer, she's out there with the pink hair, Megan, whatever. She wants to get involved and she wants to see a lot of stuff. And it just, like when they were invited to the White House, oh, I don't want to go to see President Trump. Like, this is a leader of the free world and this is how you're going to treat him. And as Tiger Woods said, we respect the office. But the left have a difficult time respecting the office when it's someone that they dislike. I see Trump almost like he's the parent of the media. And he's telling what you can and you can't do. And they're the wayward children. Oh, we don't like him because he won't let us just run around and do crazy, wild things. He's going to stop us and he's going to this and we can't have any fun. Well, he's trying to show you how to behave, how to respect yourselves. If you don't respect yourself, how can you respect others? He wants people to respect the United States.
Mm-hmm. Won't it be nice if President Trump was able to run again in 2024 and he does launch that social media app that he was talking about? He'll be able to tweet or say whatever he wants without any media filter censoring it or blocking it. I was so sick of seeing these tags on President Trump's tweets on Twitters. I will be very excited if he opens up that social media platform and we can hear him unfiltered. And that's how the American people like to hear President Trump.
And you know what else? If he were to do it, he would have everyone on CNN and MSNBC, Washington Post and New York Times trying to jump on the platform to see what he has to say because they're busybodies. They want to know what he has to say just in case he says something that's racist. We want to be able to call him out. Well, really? CNN is tanking. Now, they don't care about that because they make their money through their ads. But these people had it in for the president. And yeah, now
Project Veritas proved that.
Oh, Project Veritas, they're on a roll. And I hope they're successful in their lawsuits. Again, look at Trump. Look at the Supreme Court justices that he was able to name. Now, I don't know. It's still early as to how these three justices are going to perform. I would hope that they would perform judiciously within the realm of the Constitution. But, you know, you never know because they kind of let us down. With the election. And again, no one was saying, please hear me out. We wanted them to change the election or to call the election. We wanted them to call balls and strikes. We wanted them to say, okay, what the states are doing is wrong. You need to go back and let the legislatures do their job. That's what we wanted. Of course, the media portrays something different. So Trump deserves another term. And when he gets it, I want him to say, as he has always said, you are fake news. This is fake media. And he was fair because he was he always made himself available to the press. You know, Andrew, that's what I liked about him. He would come out and sometimes I would say, don't say anything. But he knew, look, I'm the president of the United States. I have to make myself available. Although these people are not fair, I will still go out and I will talk to them because I will show them that I'm not afraid and they will not run me away. And he did it, even when he got COVID-19 and he kicked the heck out of that virus. I mean, this man was, I mean, just like walking strong and tall while the media, they were singing his death. Oh, he's gone. They had already started playing the violin. And when he came back, man, were they living. But again, he made himself available. He was showing you this is how a leader should be. Strong, resolved, not weak. And wearing a mask when you're in a room by yourself. Really, Joe Biden?
Or multiple masks.
Multiple masks. Even when he's with Kamala, they're on a platform wearing a mask. And as soon as she speaks, someone goes and wipes it down. It's like, you both have had the shots. What? They've gotten the Trump vaccine. Why are they wearing a mask? Why are they afraid to be next to each other? Whereas with Trump, he gave the presence of a leader, a strong, viral man. I know that a lot of people thought that he was boisterous, up in your face, and loud, but he was strong and you knew what he meant and what he said, and he didn't back down. I appreciated that. I like that. It's more from what we're getting from Joe Biden, who's always hiding and allowing his, you know, press secretary, Jen Psaki, to talk for him. And half the time, they're not even on the same page. But with Trump, I mean, again, you look at what he did and he put us back on an even standing or equal grounds around the world to show that we are the leader. I remember when he went to the first summit and a lot of people were mad. They were saying, oh, he's being a bully. He's being this. Well, I'd rather he be the bully than they bully us. Look at what Putin is doing to Joe Biden. I want to have a debate with him. I mean, he's making fun of the guy because he knows that, hey, this guy's senile. Now, imagine had he said that about Trump. The first thing the media would have said, oh, he's calling Trump out. And Trump is probably afraid of him. He's scared of him. No, Trump, that is the last person Trump would be afraid of. But Joe Biden? No, Joe is scared because if he were to get on a stage with Putin, without a doubt, Putin would make him look like an idiot. And that is the reason why they don't want him on the stage with any of the world leaders. They want him on a Zoom call. They were on a Zoom call the other day. And what did Joe have on? Oh, his trademark 3 mask. Are you, Joe, they're not in the same room with you. You can take the mask off. It's all for show.
Yeah, other than gas prices already going up, we aren't getting a real idea of the results of what Joe Biden's administration will be just yet. The blue states are reopening that stayed closed down all of last year during President Trump's presidency. They're inflating his job numbers. What's going to happen when Joe Biden does his plan to take 50% of the money from the rich? What's going to happen after a couple of years of being back in the Paris Climate Accord? What's going to happen when we have to continue to get gas from the Middle East because he shut down the Keystone Pipeline? We will find out, and I think that there's going to be a big demand to have President Trump back in office in 2024.
Oh, I think so, too. I think that people want him back. I think they miss him. I think that they realize that what Joe is doing is basically going to destroy the economy. And it's not just destroy the economy, but the way it's going to make us look on the world stage. Like I said, you mean, can you imagine him in a meeting with Putin or President Xi? I can't. I mean, and it's only a matter of time. This is just the first 100 days that the media is saying now, oh my God, he's doing great. And I mean, all of them, oh, he has done this. And they're just like salivating over this guy saying that he's done all these great things. But I'm like, he's done absolutely nothing but destroy the border. With people coming in, they're probably spreading the virus. And if they're not spreading the virus, then this whole thing with the virus is just a fluke. It was like the flu, because they're not being tested. And why don't we hear the numbers of the virus being there? What is it that they have that we don't have? I mean, I don't get it. And no one is saying anything about it. But, you know, that's our boy Joe. So I want President Trump to come back. I want him to get on the campaign trail, and I want him to have those huge rallies, because I want the world to see that Trump isn't going anywhere. he is still here and he still has a base. And no matter what the people like Adam Kinzinger or Liz Cheney think, they want to wrestle the party away from him. Or Ben Sasse. You know, Andrew, Ben has been really quiet lately. I haven't heard a lot from him. And that's a good thing. I haven't heard anything from him or Mitt Romney. And then Lisa Murkowski, I want her out because she will never get it right. I actually think that she's a closet Democrat. She might be a moderate Democrat, but I think she's a Democrat. And she's carrying the Republican name and name only. But these people, they're no good. And when Trump comes out and he starts his rallies, I will be right there to support him. And so should you, our listeners. You should be there. Because the things that he did for us, I mean, with the tax cuts, getting rid of the regulations, virtually eliminated the unfair estate tax or death tax. He cut the business tax rate from 35%, the highest in the developed world, all the way down to 21%. Small businesses were now able to deduct 20% of their business income. I mean, and the list goes on and on and on. Why wouldn't we want this man with this business sense to be back out there to support us, to rally the cause, to make America great again, to keep America great again? Why wouldn't we want that? I would take that over someone like Joe, who's destroying America, pitting us against each other with color and gender. We don't have time for that. We don't have time for those social experiments. We need someone like Trump who's going to say, I need to govern and I need to correct all the mistakes that this knucklehead created. I need to continue or recontinue building the wall. And then all those people that came here within the past 4 years, we're sending you back home to Mexico. And then, of course, we'll have to once again take care of MS-13 because they're here and they're waiting. But these people need to go back where they came from. And all those crazy policies that Joe put on the book, we're going to get rid of them because the country cannot afford the nonsense that's happening. And mind you, this has only been the first 100 days during Joe's term. That first 100 days, we've got 3 more years to go. And I personally think that there will be a lot of growing pains. And if we're unable to get this country back, God bless America.
Yeah, and make sure you guys head on over to AmericaOutloud.com for the whole ride through Joe Biden's presidency. We will be here keeping you guys up to date. Thank you for joining us tonight on After Dark with Robin Andrew. And check out all the other shows over at AmericaOutloud.com, who just celebrated its 5th anniversary and redid its website. It looks great. You can also find America Out Loud on iHeartRadio, Spotify, or Stitcher. Remember, you stand for something or you will fall for nothing.